Jesus, because that assures us that your presence is with us. And Father, we just ask that you give us ears to hear and the ability to learn what the Holy Spirit would lead us into. So be glorified this morning. Bless all those in attendance. Give us ears to hear. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Today we are going to continue in Psalm 65. And Rich last week went through verse 4, but let's just read through it. Somebody, why don't you read it, Brenda? It's so good in the Amplified, if you don't mind. Can you get it? One through four.
All right.
For now.
To you belongs Zion, the submissive wonder of reverence, burst forth into praise, and praise is due and fitting to you, O God, in Zion, and to you shall the vow be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. Iniquities and much varied guilt prevail against me. Yet, as for our transgressions, you forgive and purge them away, make atonement for them, and cover them out of your sight. Blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied is the man whom you choose and cause to come near, that he may dwell in your courts, and we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple.
I love that verse 4. That says an awful lot. Mike, would you read that in the message? 65, verse 4. I know Rich took a lot of time on it last week. But 65.
Well, let's see.
Hard to find in the message.
Yeah.
It is. I'll read two from two. We will arrive at your doorstep sooner or later, loaded with guilt. Our sins too much for us, but you get rid of them once and for all. Blessed are the chosen, blessed the guests at home in your place. We expect our fill of good things in your house, your heavenly mats.
You know, when they were talking about, was it to dwell? The word dwell. Last week I was thinking, and I almost said something, but I didn't. But so I will this week. The word dwell means not just to be there, but to settle down, take your shoes off, climb up on the couch, cover up with a blanket. And it reminded me a lot of our little Molly. That's our dog. She's the queen of the house, and she has this one pillow that's a down-filled pillow, and it's a big one. It's 16 by 16, and we always fluff it up and everything. And she goes around. She doesn't just get on the pillow. She climbs on the pillow, and then she walks around it, and pushes, gets it just right. Then she just starts snuggling. It takes her about a minute or a half just to snuggle in and get it just right. And then she just lays down, and she's comfortable. You know, she has settled in for the duration. And, you know, the only way you get her to get up is with a snack or a treat or the promise of a walk. I love that it says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest. You know, we don't choose him. And in fact, truth to be told, he's chosen every creature on the earth. None has been, you know, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God. And that's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be. So let's go on to verse 5, and I'll read it first. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are far off in the sea. Would you read that one too, Brenda, in the Amplified?
By fearful and glorious things that terrify the wicked, but make the godly sing praises, do you answer
That's good. I like the where it says the terrible things. And I think the Amplified brings it out really, really well. It says it's awesome to the righteous. Mm-hmm. It's terrible to the wicked. Does it use the word wicked?
Yeah.
But, you know, there is righteousness and there is still a little wickedness in every one of us. Sometimes the things that the Lord does terrifies me. And that's a good sign to me that there's a little bit something wrong up here between these ears of mine that aren't see that don't see truth. Because it's when we can rest and dwell, get comfy no matter what with the Lord, that's when we can see that the awesome things, that everything he does is awesome and glorious. So let's switch over to song. Go ahead, sure, jump in.
That's when we realize when the terrible things happen and we see them as terrible things, we understand the awesomeness and the mighty power of God to restore and to make things new and afresh. I think a lot of times we go about our daily lives not recognizing how much control he actually has. I mean, God is the supreme commander. We don't really give him that the title a lot, but he is. And you know who the supreme commander answers to?
Himself.
But, I mean, once we get into the relationship where even the terrible things of God mm-hmm. become the habits or the things that we seek out to be that which pleases him, mm-hmm. We'll have a great relationship. Mm-hmm. Not with him, just with him, but just with one another.
We'll
have more mercy than we've ever had.
Amen to that. The Lord teaches us mercy through the things that we suffer. Lately, something's happened to me that seemed really, really, okay, really, 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 really terrible.
That word terrible basically means to reverence, to fear, but to revere and to reverence God.
Mm-hmm. And through that thing, the Lord showed me that there was something in me that wasn't, that needed to be purged out of me. And when there's something there like that, he's going to find a way to make you understand that his ways are the only ways that lead to life. And every once in a while, you know, you need to drop a little something off, drop this off, drop that off.
Is it? I might be misquoting this. You'll correct me. Feel free to clarify. When his man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to lie down beside.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is that wrong?
To be at peace with him.
To be at peace with him. And I mean, I don't know, you know, I can't speak for everybody in here. But really, I long for the day when I don't recognize my enemies because I have so much peace with them.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way that's going to happen is I have to please the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And not please your enemies sometimes. Even if
more than likely it won't
mm-hmm.
please them.
My Bible gives you a reference to Psalm 45, so I'm just going to read Psalm 45. It's, my heart is indicting a good matter. And I looked that up. This is the first verse. I don't know that I must not have ever read this before, because I've never seen this word before. Have you, Deb?
No.
And I looked it up, and it's really, really cool. It says, it's boiling over. It's bubbling. It's bubbling. Bubbling in my soul. I'm singing. I'm shouting. Remember that old Gaither song? Since Jesus made me whole. That's, my heart is bubbling over. Moving, agitating. About a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I like that too. But this is concerning the King. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Now, it says that this was a psalm that was written to the King on the occasion of his wedding. But it's also very prophetic about Jesus Christ. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O mighty, with the glory and thy majesty. And in the majestic and in thy majesty ride prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. That's that word terrible again. Awesome things. But at God's right hand, there's pleasure forevermore. And at his right hand, he's going to teach us those terrible, awesome, glorious things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. Well, this king has some enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Well, they said Jesus was anointed with gladness. And this is a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord and the Christ that dwells within us. I wanted to take a look at that. And in thy majesty, ride prosperously. Jesus, remember was it from Revelation where we got that sermon that time about the four horses, and they ride through our lives? And that's it. You know, I feel like the Lord is doing a quick work at this time. He is riding through our lives. It seems like he's riding roughshod through our lives. You know, I can just see him. And he's cleansing us. It's ever so gently and lovingly, but sometimes it doesn't feel that way. But when we think of what he could do, oh, yes, Lord, it's gently and it's lovingly that you're cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Got anything else, Clyde? I saw you highlighting.
I'm highlighting a lot of this stuff. It's really good.
Okay.
The scripture you're talking about in Revelation came to me, too, when I was reading that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it goes exactly, but the Lord is riding on that horse, conquering and to conquer,
mm-hmm.
and he is going to do it. I mean, it's going to be accomplished, and it's up to us whether we cooperate with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or not, but it will be done.
He has conquered,
mm-hmm.
and
That's right.
And he is conquering.
Well, we have found out over the teaching, thank God for the teaching that we've been getting to sit under, we have found out that the horses are the areas, wild areas in our life that haven't been conquered, or we haven't chose to be conquered in our life. And God's riding on every area or every horse, different color of horse, to let us know that it's him always doing the riding. I think sometimes we get confused on who's doing the riding. Remember, the rider always has the reins. Otherwise, this way, that way, you know, up, stop, go, you know, stuff like that. And we need to realize that how important it is to see God riding all over all the areas of our lives, that he might be glorified in every area. You know, I don't know about you guys, but have you ever tried to ride an area in your life that you realize real quick it was impossible for you to do? You know, conquer an area in your life where you say, oh, I just can't do that. I just don't have the ability to do that. That's when God wants you to say, okay, God, ride in this area. Tame me or do whatever you need to do to me, that you might be Lord of it all and you might be glorified in all. You know, I ain't saying we're there. I'm not saying I'm there. But the whole thing is, I believe he wants us to get there. And I'm pretty sure he'll get us there by him still riding, by the way. He's not going to get off.
In that song, it says, conquering now and still to conquer.
Uh-huh.
And if you read that pamphlet that Bill Britton put out years ago, Harness of the Lord, I read that. It's a
great book.
It is. And I can see the more submissive we are when he is dealing with us, the quicker work he's going to do in us. Mm-hmm. You're not bucking against the wind, you know, the, but being pliable, that he can mold. We were just talking about this on the way down, the breaking and the melting and the molding and what he's doing in our lives. Mm-hmm. And as we certainly submit under his hand, that quicker work that he can do within our very being.
This reminds me of something. You know, I have a lot of problems with my legs, and I went up to Columbus to help because someone had died at the facility that we run there. And Mom spoke to the manager that was in charge of the place, and she says, it wasn't the job that was it. And after 2 days of being there, I said, I think it may have been the job. But it was a two-floor facility, and there was an elevator, but it was kind of out of the way, and I had to run around a lot of times, and it was really very, very difficult for me to even move. Mm-hmm. To go up and down stairs was a whole other topic altogether, and I said a prayer in front of one of the games, mm-hmm. and I said, Lord, I can't do this by myself. I need help, and the message that I received back was, walk as if you've been healed.
Yes.
And I did, and I've been moving freely ever since.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to realize that I wasn't going to be able to do it myself, and I sought help, and I got it.
As if. Live as if.
Yeah.
Move as if. Mm-hmm. He is King and Lord of Lords.
Now, if you read the 46th verse, mm-hmm. I'm in the chapter, just the very first mm-hmm. verse there. Mm-hmm. Remember, why don't you read that again? I'm speaking enough today.
Read what?
46, chapter 46, first verse.
Psalm 46, 1.
Yeah, but I mean in the Amplified, what we read it.
And the Amplified, yeah.
All right. It says, God is our refuge and strength, mighty and impenetrable to temptation, a very present and well-proved, well-proved. Praise the Lord, yeah.
He's a long-time God.
Yes, he mm-hmm. is. Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you still reading 45?
I was going to go to 1 Peter 2:9.
Okay, go ahead.
Because it's... No, go ahead.
No,
what have
no.
you got out of 45?
No, that's all right. I didn't know if you were finished with
it. I'm not.
But you're going... Oh, okay. Which one are you going to read now?
I'm not finished with it until you tell me what you've got. Well, how are we going to let some
okay.
little nugget from God go?
I am highlighting this in chapter 45, by the way. This is a repeat of what you're going to hear out there, just one verse. Chapter 45 in Psalm, verse 11. So will the king desire your beauty, because he is your Lord. Be submissive and reverence and honor him. You will hear that out there.
And there's a note in here for 45 that says, true royalty is characterized not by the robes worn or the thrones occupied, but by a faithful obedience to the most royal of all, the King of Kings. We have called to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And we portray that royalty by honoring our Lord and King who gave it to us. That's in 1 Peter 2:9. It says, unto you, well, I'm going to start at 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, oh, let's see, I started where it's not going to make any sense. Let me just start at verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Some of us are more peculiar than others. Oh, where was I? But that's okay, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, in which times past you were not a people, but now you are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And the it's good that we should be peculiar. People are, it's just like in First Peter where it says, you know, he's called us to his marvelous light. When I think of the marvelous light, I think of one of those movies where it says he went into the light, you know, and this bright, bright, bright light was shining on him and through him and out of him. And then there are people groveling around in darkness. If we had our own marvelous light and walking around seeing and marveling at the wonders of God, and there are right around us all these people walking in darkness, not to find any fault with that, we would act peculiarly to them. We would be peculiar people, and we are peculiar people, and we should be peculiar people.
You know, I always use that word peculiar and say strange, and I fit it real well. But, you know, if Oscar was here, he would tell us, you know, he would quote Phillips' translation, that when reality breaks forth, mm-hmm. and then, of course, it says in an earlier edition, it says, if reality was to break forth or spring forth, we would know that we are the children of God. You know what, that should help us in our praying. We should pray that reality break forth. I think a lot of times we don't want to pray that because we don't want to be accountable for it. Reality brings an awesome accountability, a responsibility. And it might take some of our non-sober times and make them sober. It might take our ears to where we would like to hear something funny and actually hear what the Spirit has to say to somebody that's weeping inside, and you can hear the truth, and God would give you the discernment to hear the truth. And you know what? When God does that, he does that so the Spirit of God within you can help set somebody free.
Do you remember somebody brought us a word one time about that word also has the connotation of his pocket change. He keeps us right there in his pocket. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, we're very close to him. Let's go on to verse 6, unless anybody has anything else. Okay, we kind of have to say that last part of, by terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence, which is hope, of the ends of the earth and all of them that are afar off upon the sea. The part about the ends of the earth kind of goes with verse 6. And the one that is afar off on the sea kind of goes with verse 7. Because then he goes on to talk about, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power. Well, we know that that's his power. He is girded with power. Psalm 93:1 says, the Lord reigneth, and he is clothed with majesty. See, he's girded with power. He's clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. Majesty and strength. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. It's amazing. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. He's clothed with strength. Why should we worry? Who was it that said, was it last week that Oscar said in this class that the word worry is not in the Bible? Whoever said that, it really made an impression on me. About the closest thing we get is... The closest thing we get to that is where Peter says, be anxious for nothing. which is, you know, kind of that fear. But he says, be anxious for nothing, fret not. Yeah. Yeah. That's one thing that when you're going through a lot of these horses riding through you, and you do learn. You learn to fret not. You learn to let go of control. When Clyde, when you were talking about submitting, I was thinking of surrender, surrendering, acceptance. Acceptance and surrendering to the hand or the hoof of the Lord in your life. It brings real peace, and it takes away that control factor that we, as human beings, and we like to hold on to, when really, if truth be told, we control nothing. We control nothing. We don't control our next breath. None of us do. But that's a reason to not worry. I mean, it really is. He's giving me every breath as I need it, and when he's ready for me to come home, I'm ready to go, but not until. I'll fight to stay here as long as I can. Psalm 95:4, what does that say? In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills are his also. The sea is his. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. Ooh. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if we hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and tried and proved me and saw my work. 40 years long I was grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. But the next verse says, unto whom I swear with my faith, with my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. So, but we can turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4:3. But I'm going to read a lot of it. I'm going to probably read 1 through 12. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise of being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. And he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from his works. And in this place again, he said, if they shall enter into my rest. Now, that's kind of stepping away from your works, trying to be saved by works, when we have to be saved by the finished work of Jesus. Seeing therefore that it remaineth, that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And here comes the important part. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into rest, into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. That was those Jews that were wandering in the desert for 40 years. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, and of joint and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it's by his strength that he sets fast the mountains, being girded with power. Let's go to, anybody got anything else on that? You want to go to 7? Which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. That word, tumult, am I saying that right? Tumult.
Tumult.
Yeah. Is the same word as confusion. And confusion is the land of Babylon, where they took all the Jews and put them into slavery in the land of Babylon. So see Isaiah chapter 60. I always like to see Isaiah chapter 60. It's one of my favorites, but let's see what this has to say. Oh, yeah. Let's just read up to verse 5 because I love it so much. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. And this verse 5 is where this word tumult is translated here as abundance. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. That tumult, which is confusion, is also sometimes translated as abundance, which is kind of surprising to me. But when it comes to the sea, the abundance of the sea, the overflowing, the rushing at you, could be that. See, Isaiah 65, yeah. Let's see Matthew 8:26 on that verse. And he said to them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? So he can calm the mountains. But if he's placed a mountain, that mountain was placed by God.
Kathy, you just wrote, why art thou fearful? Mm-hmm. And he was using that as that reference goes. And what the King James says, I said, wasn't he talking about ye of little faith?
Mm-hmm.
I think in one sense we need to realize a lot when God's dealing with us, ye of little faith is the same as ye fearful.
Mm-hmm.
Ye little ones of faith, fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the only thing that I believe that interrupts us or gives us trouble with our faith is our fear. You know, It's hard for the Holy Spirit to bring things to us when we're in a fearful state, a dreadful state.
Mm-hmm.
Without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please Him. And I know that when we're in conditions to where we're not thinking about the Word or whatever,
But, you know, the Word needs to get so far deep in us, and us deep into the Word, that it's the thing that comes back to our memories. I said, you know, a lot of times when we say, you know, what shall I say to the person or whatever, what's the Bible say? It's immediately says, think not what to say, I'll give you the utterance. Otherwise, he'll give that which you need to say, and he'll speak it to you and through you. You know, we got to quit acting like it's about our plan.
Yes.
We don't have a clue what the plan is.
Yes.
I mean, God laughs at our plan, but the truth is, he has it all planned. But anyway, that was what fear and I think them coincide. That and rest, light of faith or showing faith. And normally, you know, what stops us from proclaiming something? Another word for fear in my life would be doubt. That stops us from proclaiming something.
Mm-hmm.
I'll shut up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Jim, you're sitting there kind of quiet. Got anything? Marge, does he have anything? Keep going. Lonnie, we're in Psalm 65.
Pardon?
Psalm 65. Verse 7 right now. What's this in there? We're just going into Psalm 65, verse 8. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice. Would you read that in the Amplified?
Eight. So that those who dwell in earth's farthest parts are afraid of nature's signs of your presence. You make the faces where morning and evening have birth and shout for joy. Mm.
Go on and do verse 9.
You visit the earth and saturate it with water. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide them with grain when you have so prepared the earth.
Mm-hmm. When you have so prepared the earth. I was going to talk about that in verse 10, mm-hmm. because it said it settles in the furrows thereof and makes it soft, softens our hearts. Thou visited the earth. That's my earth. Every time I say the Lord's Prayer, I never say on earth as it is in heaven. I say in earth as it is in heaven, because it's in my earth. I mean, I want it in everyone else's earth too, but in my earth is the only thing that I can really have anything to say about. I can only submit my earth to him. I can only surrender my day to him. I can only worship him with my heart. It's my earth that I'm, you know. And honestly, sometimes we have to remember and we have to consider the fact that we cannot be responsible for other people's earth.
Yes.
We have to live our life and do what God wants us to do. Do what he says to do and take no thought for how it comes out or what develops from it. As long as we have done God's will, just be silent and go on your way, you know. Let him do his work in that other life. I love what it says about he waters the ridges thereof abundantly. He settles the furrows thereof. He makes it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. That's the earth and the water, the earth and the water. He's doing all these things in our earth, in our life. He's softening our hearts. He's bringing down the high places. He's watering everything abundantly. And it's going to soften our heart that he can work his work in our lives. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Thank you, Lord. And thy paths drop fatness. This is kind of strange. Fatness, I looked that word up, and it means fertility, and it means a blessing. It also means ashes. It's used for the word fatness, which is wonderful prosperity word, you know, fatness, 8 times. And it uses the word ashes for that word 7 times. And some of it is in where they are, the ashes of the animals that are put for offering in the temple. The ashes of those animals, the ones that aren't able to be consumed, they burn them down to ashes, and then they mix them with the fat. And so you have the fatness with the ashes. I'm not sure exactly what any of that means, but I thought it was interesting that it was there. We have to somehow die to ourselves, I think.
To me, this whole thing, this whole psalm is saying, the Lord's telling us, I called you. Mm-hmm. I put all these things in your path. I orchestrated these terrible things, these circumstances or whatever, and that is the way that I'm preparing your earth. And when he has worked in all those valleys and dark, terrible places,
I understand that, Deb.
Then you will have fatness. I mean, you know, after he's done all these things in your life, you'll have confidence that he is the one that did it, and he is the one that is bringing about a result, and it's a good thing. Mm-hmm.
I think that goes a lot. It just brings to mind what Josh felt like the Lord said to him. Walk as though you were healed. Walk as if you were healed. I mean, stop and consider, won't it be wonderful when the day comes that we don't have to walk as if? We will be. We will become. We won't have to try to conjure up walking in this brilliant light. We will be walking in this brilliant light. We won't have to. Go ahead, Clyde.
I read this out of the Living Bible.
Absolutely.
Just to comment on what you just said, I'm not sure if we have to wait much longer for that.
Amen.
In the furthest corners of the earth, the glorious acts of God shall startle everyone. The dawn and the sunset shout for joy. I want you to go back to the day you accepted the Lord. Have the mind and the eyes and the vision the day you accepted the Lord. Have the reality of freshness the day you accepted the Lord. First time you seen the new sun, I guarantee it was different than you ever seen it before. First time you ever seen the new moon, it was the first time you ever seen it with the eyes of life and who created it. First time you ever looked upon a tree, it was the first time you ever seen the creator of heaven and earth that made that tree. I think what Debbie said is true. What the ultimate thing is, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We need to understand the earth that he's talking about in this verse is us. But the ultimate earth, which we are part of, is his. And that will help bring about what you said a while ago. We won't have to keep on waiting for it. We will stand up and proclaim it. And it will be.
It'll come out of the very belly, of our very belly.
because
we are it.
Amen.
There'll be no more struggling. We'll go no more out. We'll stay.
That's right. That's
we
good.
Will go no more out. I will ride upon him. Yeah. Ooh. won't go outside again of the awareness of his complete presence, his complete saturation. That's what he's talking about, where he's watering with an abundance of water. Ooh, there has to be something with that, with the former rain and the latter rain too. Ooh, an abundance of water in our lives. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Is there another word there? Read the last verse of 65. Somebody, will you?
The last one says the pastures are clothed with flocks.
Uh-huh.
The valleys also are covered with corn.
Uh-huh.
They shout for joy. They also sing.
Oh, okay. That was the end. Mm-hmm. I thought I lost the last of it. Mm-hmm. Well, singing, I guess, is the end then. It's a wonderful way to, you know, to end this and to think about what's in store for us. It's going to be great. So, okay, Jim, would you? Yeah. say one of your prayers.
Upon line, precept upon precept. I am ringing you about in this hour. And the sun of righteousness is rising in your heart. And you are seeing the dawning of a new day. The dawning of a day that was created a long, long time ago. Now being brought into manifestation. What all creation is groaning for, what you are groaning for, even in this Sunday school class, is the manifestation of that day star rising in your heart. And you're going to see it. You're going to see the manifestation of this Son of Righteousness. And you are seeing it. Continue to press in, my people. Through my strength and through my might and my power. For truly the work is finished. And even as Josh said, walk as if you are made whole. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.